Earlier, I spoke about the thing I've come dressed for an occasion. I've come in my funereal outfit. As many of you know, I've done lots and lots of funerals. But Paul was writing to his friends in Rome, and he wrote, "We have been buried with him through baptism unto death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too walk in newness of life." Baptism is good in itself, but it's not something to stay with you forever. What God has called us to do is to go forward into newness of life. Paul wrote later, "What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end." I'll read that again. "We know that it was, as Jesus was raised from the dead, that it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." John wrote this about his friend. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of, and we saw his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." And of course, we celebrate that at Advent time, what we call Christmas. But as you know, the life and ministry and words of Jesus were a challenge to his culture. It became politically and religiously expedient to get rid of him. Caiaphas said, "It was in the interests of the nation that one should die on behalf of the people." And Pilate said, when the crowd was shouting, "Crucify him," rather than a riot starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood." I'd like us all to listen to a song that was recorded 40 years ago by members of this church. Okay, Bob.
He came all the way for me. into my heart. He came all the way to me from heaven above, right into my heart. He came all the way to me. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, He came all the way to me. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, He came all the way to me.
Easter is not just about facts. It's about a loving Savior who came to save us from the consequences of us and our sin, to bring us into a relationship with Him. On the 29th of May, 1953, as Maggie celebrated her sixth birthday, and my brother Ken celebrated his sixth birthday, two men climbed the unconquerable Everest, Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay, did something that had never been done before. 2,000 years ago, Jesus conquered the ultimate. He conquered the frontier of death. And eternal life is available for each one of them. Unaccompanied, He did it on His own. He was obedient to His Father. Not my will, but yours be done. But Easter is a time of vulnerability. We see the disciples at their most vulnerable. And just like us, can you imagine what they went through? They were shocked, so shocked they couldn't even attend His death. I don't know whether you've bereaved or recently lost someone who you love. It's a very emotional time. And here were these vulnerable followers seeing their whole future shattered, stunned, shocked. But one thing it did do, it brought out the secret disciples. I don't know whether you've been a secret disciple of Jesus. There's a man called Joseph who had a lot of political clout, so much so that he could go to Pilate and get the body of Jesus. And he took along possibly a friend, Nicodemus. Joseph was intimidated by his colleagues. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, but on what we call Good Friday, they both came together and took the body of Jesus and took it and buried Him in a tomb that hadn't been used. They were also, the followers of Jesus, were skeptical. They couldn't believe what the women had told them, that Jesus was alive. Mary Magdalene said to them, "I've seen the Lord." But they thought it was all nonsense. I wonder whether you're one of those this morning who's skeptical about the claims of the resurrection of Jesus. You think it's all nonsense. But essentially, just like us, in the experiences that we go through, they were scared. Yes, we get frightened, we get scared. Death seemed to have claimed Jesus as a victim. Defeat seemed so obvious. all hope was gone. In June of 1815, there was a situation in Britain very much like that. It was ominous. There was a battle on, the battle that we know as Waterloo. What had happened? People were anxious to know. And in those days, the news passed by semaphore signals. And people on the cathedral at Winchester saw the sign, Wellington defeated, and the fog came down, and all enjoyment, all excitement seemed to go. What had happened over in Belgium? But then the fog lifted, and the semaphore language message rang out again. Wellington defeated the enemy. When the fog of Calvary and Good Friday evaporated, the news that Jesus had risen from the dead and had defeated the enemy became public. What would you feel if you were one of those disciples? They were scared, and they ran, and they assembled together and met and closed the doors. And into the midst of them, Jesus appeared. What did he say? He didn't say, "Where were you when I needed you? Why did you run away? Why did you boast that you would and you didn't?" What he said was, "Peace. Peace. If you are troubled and anxious and guilty and feeling all those feelings of being down, Jesus doesn't come and condemn you. Because you're scared, because you're skeptical, because you're stunned and shocked, he comes and says, peace. Shalom. Behold, don't go to pieces." But you know, when all this was happening, there was one man who wasn't there. And they told him that we've seen the Lord. "Ah, come off it. I don't believe you. Unless I can touch him and see him, I will not believe." Are you one of those arrogant doubters who won't believe until you can see and touch? Jesus, 8 days later, appeared to Thomas and said, "Come here, Thomas. Come and do what you said you wanted to do. Come and touch me." Jesus said to all of us, "Come and touch me. Come and touch me." And the declaration was, "My Lord and my God." Now we see the disciples at their most vulnerable. But each one of those disciples, with the exception of John, gave their lives for their Savior. Jesus was alive. He transformed their lives, and they changed the world. In the week, I went to Priory Church building. Everything was covered. Anything that indicated life and joy and happiness was covered over with a sheet. If you came in earlier, you'll probably see that the sign behind me, hope was covered. Anything that looked forward in the anticipation was covered with mourning and grief and bereavement. A time of reflection. But today, if you go into Priory Church building, you'll find it's like that. There's nothing there. It's all been changed away, transformed. The covers have come off. It's time to take off the mourning clothes. Time to celebrate. I had this given as a gift for my birthday last year. Yeah. Church, it's time to celebrate. He's alive. As I said at the beginning, I've done many funeral services, and those for Christians are different for those who don't believe, because we say in sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead. Amen. We'll all die. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall live. Paul wrote, I've handed down to you of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, and then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And at last, to one untimely born, he appeared to me. Jesus wants to appear to each one of us. He said to Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Because you have seen me, you've now believed. Blessed are those who did not see and who yet believed. You don't have to have a vision of Jesus. It's icing on the cake if you do. But he asks you just to believe what he says. And believe means being committed 100%. So what does Easter mean? It means instead of being secret, of being open. Instead of being fearful, having courage. Instead of having sorrow, having joy. Instead of doubts, fears. Instead of skepticism, certainty. Instead of separation, intimacy. And instead of anxiety, peace. Back to the analogy of the mountain range that came out so clearly in that song that Mo rang, like a mountain range. I don't know if you've ever seen a range of mountains, the Andes or the Carpathians or the Cairngorms or the Alps or the Rockies. They are marvelous. But yet there are Everest, or today, Resurrection, is not the last mountain. I want you to look in your imagination. In 40 days, there's Mount Ascension. And beyond that, 10 more days, Mount Pentecost. And then beyond that, Mount Blessed Hope. A few years ago, I was traveling through the Rocky Mountains, and it came over the Tannoy, Ladies and gentlemen, over on your right is the highest mountain in the Canadian Rockies, Mount Robson, 13,000 feet. Sadly, you can't see it today. It's only visible about 5 days of the year. It's known as Cloud Capped Mountain, Mount Blessed Hope. The second advent of Jesus is very much like that. Usually we can't see it, but it's there. And it's going to happen. And he's going to come back. And he says, every eye will see it. And every knee will bow. It's all to do with transformation. Jesus wants to transform you as well as me. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty Victor's brow. We're going to sing a hymn together in a little while. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. But I just want to finish with the words of another song that we'll be singing. In Christ alone my hope is found. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world for darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or call me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. He came all the way for me. He came all the way for you. He came all the way to me. He came all the way to you. God bless you.